snow this year.
3D
Dave,
why?
Well, you see, Alvin,
I'm dreaming.
Potato potatoes, American radio, Salisbury steak. It's the Good Night with Trip Show.
L-I-T-T-L-E-T-R-I-V. 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 L-I-T-T-L-E-T-R-I-V.
The Good Night Show with Little Triv on WREW-FM.
Funny, because I have seen mommy, well, you know, Santa Claus, except it wasn't my mommy, it was my foster mommy, and it wasn't Santa Claus, it was her schmo with the big white beard and a big pot belly, and I saw it.
Was that the prison guy?
I think it was the prison guy. It was funny, he was a prison escapee with the red face, and he got out of prison. The first thing he wanted was my mommy, my foster mommy.
Think about the word escapees. It's kind of a cute word.
Well, he was an escapee in his PJs.
Why don't they just say escape?
He looked like Santa, but he was escaping from prison.
I'm getting it. Why don't they just say escape?
Well, because it was cute the way he escaped from prison.
And is that just what they tell the little kids, and that's how it kind of caught on?
They say, kids, daddy escaped from prison. He's a little escapey boy. And then the kids all think it's cute, and they give him a lollipop, and the cops go on the hunt, and then they end up shooting the guy to death. It's sort of street justice, if you get what I'm changing. So
let's get this straight. There was kind of a fat guy with a big white beard, kind of like a bad Santa Claus, maybe. There may be a movie.
Yes,
about that. And he, the first thing he wanted when he got out of jail was your mom.
My foster mom.
To do your mom?
Yeah, he wanted to do her, and I saw him pegging her. They were pegging, and they were doing it on the couch, and it was near Christmas time. It wasn't quite Christmas, but they exchanged letters. My foster mother had a, and this is one of many mothers, she had a tendency to write letters to prisoners, hoping to get them to smuggle a little something for them out of the prison. So she'd always said that the drugs and the weapons that they make in prison are unlike anything you can buy in actuality, because they're made out of desperation. They're made out of people who want to feel something.
I love the desperation of prison drugs. I've had them, and they're not real. They're kind of like fake little candies.
Yeah, but they make you feel a little spunk in your step. Have you ever looked at somebody who's just high on prison drugs? That was my foster mommy. And so she was always trying to smuggle something, this or that, out of prison. She would even get her cigarettes from prisons because she had thought that they tasted better and that the smoke was browner and thicker.
With all due respect, your mom was a hell of a woman.
Well, great respect accepted. She was a hell of a woman, and she got a big stipend from the government for taking me out and my many foster brothers.
Let me finish, Lamigan. In bed.
Oh, Diesel, but you weren't even there. So anyway, this feller with the white beard and the red face and the big... excuse me. Can you dump that? So this big fat chubby fella... you know how usually the prison uniforms are orange? Or striped?
Yeah, they're striped. Lamigan, have you ever seen a prisoner?
Well, his was bright red and white stripes, like a candy cane. So I came downstairs and I said, Santa? And I swear to God, he pulled out a revolver and he took two pot shots at me while I was standing in the staircase. I had to duck. I ducked and I dodged getting shot twice. He almost shot me twice in the head. Can you imagine what would have happened to me then?
No.
I would have been dead.
I've been shot. This sounds familiar.
I've been shot. I've been shot in the head before. Yeah, and so one of the times was by this fella. He sort of nicked the top of my skull, and that's why I have this little ditch down the center of my skull. It's where a bullet traveled. So anyway, so I saw Mommy Santa Claus, and it wasn't actually Santa Claus. It was, oh, who is that? Who was that?
I have no idea what that was.
Santa Claus?
I wouldn't get too excited, Lamigan.
Oh, I never get too excited. I saw Santa Claus this morning, and I sat on his lap and told him what I wanted.
Now, what did he say? Because I don't need to ask. I know you're asking for all sorts of terrorist tools and just a terrorist tool chest. What did they call it?
I asked him.
A chest.
Diesel. I asked him for a TiVo.
War chest. What's a TiVo?
I don't even know. I'm just trying a little bit to be normal this year. I also asked him for a war chest. I also asked him for a trident.
Lamigan, do you want us to talk a little bit about our guest? And let me just say, we have a guest at 12:25. He's going to talk about... He's pretty much going to prove all the atheists wrong. And Lamigan, do you want to explain what atheist is?
Sure, but can I tell you what I did to this Santa at the mall? To make sure he was real?
Sure.
I always grab with my big, fat, callous, chubby little fist. I always grab the biggest tuft of their big white beard that I can, and I yank it, and sometimes it snaps on their chin just like that, and I know that they're a fake Santa. And that's how I know.
A little bit like that.
Something like that. But this guy was the real deal. And I pulled his beard and he said, yeow! And he shoved me off his chair. And then I sort of smelled, when he said, yeow, I smelled alcohol and cigarettes on his breath. So I knew he was a fake Santa, but at least his beard was real.
I've never played a Santa at the mall, but I've been asked because of my gut. But I will never do it.
You need more than a gut. You need the spirit. You need the friendly face. Your face has sort of a slope to it. The both sides slope down towards misery. It implies that you're a terminally ill person.
So let's talk about this guest we have calling in. Excuse me, ma'am. We have to talk about this guest.
Ma'am, could you please leave?
Did you bring her off the bus with you or something?
She's been following me around all day.
Okay, well,
ma'am?
I'm not. Let's just leave it. Can you talk
Hey, lady!
Just let it. Let her.
Diesel, I'm about to slingshot somebody.
We have a guest
I'm
calling
about
in.
To slingshot
in like
somebody.
It's in 1 minute. He wants us to play Metallica. He's calling right now.
Okay, we've got somebody calling in tonight, folks. His name is Kevin Malik, and he's going to talk to us tonight about a great many of things, one of them being the state of affairs in this world today and the way religion, most specifically Christianity and Christmas, is being crushed by an invisible dark force known as atheism. Welcome, Kevin. My name is Landon Lamigan. This is Little Diesel.
His intro song.
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not been paying attention before me talking, then you haven't been paying attention at all, because you're about to hear Mr. Kevin Malik. These are the fella who's gonna tell you how Christmas and Christianity's gonna conquer all. He's gonna crush down atheists, he's gonna knock down liberals, and he's gonna make you wish you never been born if you believe in the things that we don't believe in. So why don't you take a listen, ladies and gentlemen, and let's give a warm welcome to Mr. Kevin Malik!
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing? It's good to talk to you again.
Can I say something to you? Merry Christmas, Kevin. And I'm not afraid to say it.
And Merry Christmas to you, too.
And I shouldn't be afraid to say it, should I?
No, absolutely not.
Why are we? Why are we made to feel that way?
Well, it's the political correctness, man.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, excuse my language.
Well, you know, it's the... over the last, for years now, there's been this slow progression towards what we're seeing today. Along the way, doing little things like taking God out of this or taking God out of that, or we got to take this statue down, or we can no longer say this, or now this is okay, and now this is okay, but that's not okay. And we find ourselves to the point where we're not far. In fact, we've already started to see the effects of censorship.
I know
I've seen it on social media. I've been censored. I know many of my colleagues have too.
You know, we have too. We've been censored to the point where we can barely speak when we're not in the radio. I'm surprised they haven't taken us off the air the way things are going. But Kevin, you wouldn't believe this. I know there's a little boy who waits at the bus stop for me. He takes the bus to school. I take it to the casino. And so we wait at the bus stop together, and we're talking. And this little boy, he told me that they take Christmas trees out of school. Christmas trees. That is innocence. That means good. That means goodness. And I looked at him and said, goodness. I said, goodness gracious, son. They're taking your Christmas trees? So you're onto something.
You know, and it's like, at what point are we not offended? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not our nature to pee and moan over little things, you know, but when you see the other side of the coin doing that so excessively, where they're complaining about everything. Everything's offensive to them. Charlie Brown is offensive to them now. The term peanut butter and jelly sandwich is offensive to them now. But, you know, when it comes to the point where they start taking our beliefs and rights away, then I say, you know what? I'm offended. Now I'm offended. All of a sudden, the things that you're pushing on me, I'm finding offensive now. And before, I didn't speak out about it because I didn't, you know, we weren't pushed to. But at what point should we either say something and stand up, or sit down and let it all happen?
See,
you know, for me, I got to say something.
I say something.
I sit down. I just watch it happen and I shake my head.
I sit down and
I say the old adage. I'm living in a world I just don't understand.
You say that adage quite often. And see, what I do is I'll sit down, but I'll yell from my chair. I'll yell. And when these people are offended, I kind of want to add fuel to the fire. I want to walk into an elementary school cafeteria with two open jars of peanut butter and say, if your allergies are offended by my peanut butter, then God damn it, I'm going to open up these jars and you can leave because this is the food I eat. So I'm just so curious as to what you think that maybe this says about if there's anybody observing us, looking out to us, saying this human thing isn't working out so well. So I was just wondering, what's out there?
Well, if you consider the fact that we live on a prison planet,
what? A prison planet?
Let me expand what I'm saying here. We live on a prison planet in the fact that if you're into theology, when God and Satan had their war, he banished all the demons to earth, right?
Right.
And now we have to live amongst all that. And the only logic I can find out of everything as to why we're here, what's going on, the best I can make out of it is that we are being tested. I don't know why. I don't know for how long. But there's so on one hand, you can say, yeah, we're doing horrible as humans. On the other hand, if we weren't on such an unlevel playing field, how much better would we be doing? You know, maybe we're doing better than expected, considering the circumstances.
So now, although
I think that, yes, where we're going, where we're headed as a society is totally the wrong direction, at least where the politics and the mainstream are taking us. Totally bad, totally wrong. It's not good for family. It's not good for what's humble or what's wholesome. You know, there's a lot of scary things going on right now, and we lose freedom every day.
Well, I met a kid on the bus stop that he was afraid to bring his Christmas cookies to school, and I just think that today is just so. Where is God in today's world? It's just kind of a big question, but where is God?
Did he have the cookies with him?
Well, yeah, I think he was packed it for his lunch.
Just shaking, nervous, holding his cookies. God, that breaks my heart.
I didn't ask him about it, but you could just tell where it was happening.
So what was your question, Diesel?
Where is God today when we need him? And I know he's there, and I know that we have to have the faith, but I need him now.
We do. And I'll tell you, like, for instance, Trump. I always find myself on the fence with Trump.
Just don't even worry about it here. You are in a safe place, and I don't mean that ironically. Just say it.
Well, that had we had the other choice won, we would be in a much worse place. And I felt that Trump ending up in office, even though he is backed by some faction of what we would call the cabal, I felt like that was better for us than the alternative would have been, which would have been a fast track down the highway to hell. Socially speaking, religiously speaking, everything, all aspects, spiritually speaking, you name it. Things will get better before they get worse. I do know that good was created before, or I believe that good was created before evil, right? So it was first. And I also believe that good enjoys strength and unity when evil turns on itself in the end. And I think for those reasons, good always eventually does win in the end. So I'm hoping that this new world order construct that's being constructed before our very eyes, I'm hoping that there are, metaphorically speaking, loose rivets, you know, things, or there are mistakes that will be made that will be their undoing, that will, some people believe that their whole, for these last hundreds of years since America basically has been a country, that it's been slowly orchestrated up to this point where we're at now. But there are, it's tough, you know, because there's so many people out there that don't care. You can tell them right here, you got a third of the people that have a conscience and care, right? You have a third of the people that don't have a conscience and they don't care. And then you got a third of the people that are in the middle. They're neutral. And where they sway will depend on what they're exposed to, the people they're around, the situations they put themselves in, or find themselves in, I should say. Just like a third of the angels rebelled against God. I would certainly think a third of humanity would too.
Okay, so a third of everyone's always going
to be either chaotic or they're not going to care.
Yeah, I can see that.
And you got a third that does care. So all of a sudden, that neutral becomes really important. Now, in the past, the neutral in the country has more or less sided with the greater good of things. You know, now we're seeing a point where that neutral is starting to side with the greater evil of things, where morals aren't important anymore. where God isn't important anymore, where political correctness is their rule and is the rule of law, you know? Yeah.
You
I don't mean to go on too long, but that's, you know, so we're at this point now where, because of all the Hollywood influence, because of all the mainstream media influence, all this stuff they're bombarding us with.
Jason Momoa.
Generation, all the millennials.
Jason Mraz.
They don't know morals. They don't know family values. So we're finding that middle ground is now swaying towards darker things, and that's concerning.
Well, if you go see any movie, it'll be the darkest movie you've ever seen. And Kevin, I want to know, in a world where, in a life where all I want to see is an angel, how come all I see are demons?
Well, there's certainly, I wish we were half as organized as they were, right? I mean, they seem so organized with their secret societies and their governments and their...
Well, they have it very easy.
You know, and we're just, you know, it's not our nature to be, what would you call the word? Conniving or that kind of thing.
Sadistic.
It's not our nature to be aggressive, per se, which is why we find that, many times our feelings aren't represented properly.
And one more thing, and you can interpret this however you want. Do demons die? And what do they eat for their last meal? If I can use that pronoun anymore, their pronoun, what would they eat for their last meal? And you can interpret that however you want.
I would say, theologically speaking, demons don't die. In fact, it's my understanding that the one thing God can't do is destroy a soul, which is why, see, there will be a place of holding for Satan. And that's why eventually those that side with evil will be imprisoned forever. You know, that's why I think I believe in some aspect of reincarnation. I don't think that for as amazing as the human spirit and the human humans are, it doesn't seem to me, why would we exist for such a short period of time and some of us not even have a chance to live out our life, you know, dying as a baby or a young or before their time, that kind of thing. I think that God creates things to exist, and so I don't see a demon having their last meal, but if they would, gee, would it either be something horrible like puke and diarrhea, or would it be something nice like a delicious steak dinner with mashed potatoes and sides or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, that would be my last meal. My last
puke and diarrhea.
Puke and diarrhea, and then with a little bit of mashed potato. So Kevin, let me ask you. So you mentioned how there's sides and there's neutral and there's chaotic and everything. Well, in a couple days we have the most red and green joyous celebration of the year, Christmas. And there's a war on Christmas. It's been waged for 2,000 years, and it's not even close to being won. So I just need to ask you, at which point do we take sides, and what can we do to fight in this war for what we believe is a wonderful holiday?
That's a very difficult question. One thing we can do, the one thing everyone can do is be self-prepared and have a good spiritual connection, you know, so that no matter what befalls us, at least we'll be right with God or the our creator, I should say, God the creator. As a society, man, we need to step up and speak up. The one thing we could do is if they passed a law tomorrow that said if you belong to a secret society, you can't hold office, I think that would fix a lot of problems right there.
Amen.
I'm just gonna say it.
If somebody said to you, Mr. Malik, if somebody said to you, what if someone looked you square in the eyes and said, happy holidays, what would you say? What do you do in that situation?
Well, the politically correct thing to do is to say happy holidays. For me, I was always taught to say that early on, just out of respect for other people's religions that weren't Christian. And now it's turned to, but what's happened is now it's morphed to where you can't even say Merry Christmas anymore if that's your belief, because it offends, you know, whoever, right? So that's the problem, that we can't even, we're supposed to have free speech, okay? We are so close to the event horizon where there will be no going back, and we will lose free speech, and we'll lose freedoms. There are things that they want to roll out that would make Orwell himself roll in the grave, you know? As far as...
Make Orwell roll?
Coming down the pike. Well, you know, when I talk about the Orwellian, Big Brother, all that kind of things, like the book 1984, for example, as much as he laid out, which is bad, it's even worse than that. Because, you know, when they talk about merging man with machine, and they talk about chipping, microchipping people, and these kinds of things, you know, and that gets referred to like the mark of the beast. And you know, the parallels are so uncanny, you know, when you compare the two, the prophecy to what's going on today and how they want to chip everybody now, you know, and they can extract information, but who's to say they can't, implant information or affect the person, or maybe they have figured out a way to interfere with the connection that every person has with God, or at least those that are have a conscience and seek the greater good of things.
The number is 216-368-2208. 216-368-2208. Kevin, we've just got a couple more questions for you. Time's running thin. Lamigan, do you want to toss maybe a Christmassy? Come on, it's Christmas, for God's sakes.
Well, let's bring it back down to earth here, Kevin. What would you like for Christmas? Pretend I'm Santa. Xbox. beer, coffee.
Oh boy,
jerky.
Honestly, I would have to consult with my wife on that one. I don't even know. I can't even answer that.
I don't even know how I would answer that either. I don't have anybody buying me presents. I actually saw Santa on the way here on my own, and he didn't have much good news for me. He basically said, "Hey, buddy, I only take presents to the kids." So, Kevin, I got to ask you, what's going on these days with the extraterrestrials? That's something we did not get to, and it's something that you are also not only an expert on, but just very... articulate when you speak about it. Oh, actually, wait, before we get to that, we have a very special phone call. Kevin, would you mind taking a question here?
Sure.
Okay. All right, caller, you're on the air with Kevin Malik.
Merry Christmas.
Well, thanks. You're on the air with Kevin Malik. You have anything you want to ask about all the things that he's been talking about tonight, such as atheism, UFOs, the fight between Christmas and angels?
Well, Kevin, I don't really have any questions. To be honest, I haven't been listening to the show, but I did call in to tell you that you've been a very naughty boy this year, and you shouldn't expect many gifts.
Whoa. Kevin, I'm sorry. Who is this? Who are we talking to?
I'll give you one clue. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
No. Diesel, are you buying this?
I just don't think that's who I think it is.
It's too good to be true.
Oh, you think it's not me? Well, Landon, ask me something that nobody else could know.
Okay. How many times did that feller that my mom was sleeping with shoot at me in the head while I was waiting on the stairs on Christmas Eve?
3 years in a row, and I didn't leave him any gifts after that.
Santa?
That's right. I told you. I said, ho, ho, ho. Ask me what you left me last year on the nightstand.
Ask you what I left you? Okay, what I leave you last year in the nightstand, Santa?
Well, I guess I've already proved it's me, so you don't have to quiz me anymore, but I kind of like being quizzed to prove that it's me.
You're very whimsical.
Hey, guys. I know it's Santa and everything, Lavigan, but we have a guest on the line.
Okay, Santa, can we put you on the back burner for one moment?
Sure, why not?
We're about to dig into something truly interesting with Mr. Malik. Mr. Kevin Malik, you were saying about the extraterrestrials?
Well, since we have Santa on the phone, which is pretty cool. Hi, Santa. How
Very
you
cool.
I'm doing all right, Kevin.
I do. I've heard that on the 25th when you're up flying around delivering the gifts and all that, that there are UFOs flying around, and you got to be careful about that.
Oh, that is a very logical tip. Santa, have you ever had to dodge your reindeer when seeing UFOs in the night sky?
They don't fly that low. I mean, sometimes, yeah. Sometimes, yeah.
Huh.
Kevin?
But yes. Yes, That's something I heard before, and I thought maybe
I mean, it's a good question, but how low do you think that UFOs typically fly?
I think they can go all the way to the ground, they can land on the ground, and in fact, they can go underwater.
No. That is horrifying. Is it something to be afraid of or something to embrace?
I guess it would depend on who you're dealing with.
Kevin, we just want to make sure we could touch base with you. Is there anything else you wanted to add to the program before we gotta let you go?
I guess you can find me at Northern Wisconsin Paranormal Society Limited on Facebook, and also Paraversal Universe on social media. Thank you so much for having me on the show, you guys. Good to talk to you again. Merry Christmas. And God bless everyone.
God bless you, and Merry Christmas to you, and thank you so much for coming on and just being such a nice guy on this holiday season. We wish you the very best, and your wife, and we hope to get you wonderful presents. Okay, sir? Thank you very much.
You're welcome, and thank you.
Well, Merry Christmas to him, Ramigan, and I forgot something very special that I wanted to do for him.
What?
I wanted you to sing one of your Hillary carols.
Where's Santa? Is he still on the line?
Merry Christmas, folks. This is the Christmas episode. It's not as Christmassy as we hoped. We're going to have Ben Garrison back on the program next week. It's going to be very special. But right now we have Santa Claus back on the line.
Santy?
Hello.
And hello, ho, ho, ho. Is that what you say?
I say it sometimes, but... saving the ho-ho-hos for Christmas Eve.
Santa, was that you pegging my mom on Christmas Eve all those years ago?
That was not me, but I do know who it was, and I am not saying a word.
Okay.
Why, right, just some random guy?
Bro, he's just a random fella. So I'm going to sing a quick little carol, and Santa, you can let me know what you think. And I wrote this, so here we go.
Oh, and Santa, do you hate Hillary Clinton?
She's a very naughty girl, but I don't hate her. I don't.
She was so naughty.
Well, Santa, you can't say that. But is Mr. Trump on your nice list?
Yes, Mr. Trump is on my nice list.
Good.
I always put the presidents on my nice list. Every president.
That makes sense.
You have to respect the office.
I respect the office. That's true.
Can we get to the carol?
Yeah, give us the carol. Name again?
Yeah, just a little. It's a little jazzier than I was expecting.
Okay.
in Maple Heights, Mayfield Road, where little Triv was born. And laid within a baby crib, he grew up watching porn. And then his parents died so young, his father in a war. Oh, our fathers killed each other and nam each other and nam. Oh, our fathers killed each other and nam. Remember that one misty night, I'm sure you'll rue the day. I chose to become as evil as my east side became. With a sadist grin, I do some sins and I never been the same. Oh, I'm just what the east side became. East side became. Oh, I'm just what the east side became. Okay, that's about it.
Let's do the other one.
No, let's wrap it up. The other one's about Clintons.
Flanagan, I thought that was a very pretty tune. And I think my favorite line was the line where you said, East I became.
Yeah, well, thank you. That was a really difficult line to not only write, but to say in the song. East I became. Okay, well, this one's a little more gruesome. Wait, no, it has to be. It's dashing through the snow, Diesel. It's called Deck the Halls, Diesel. Diesel don't know his Christmas carols. Does that put him on the naughty list, Santa?
I think out of the two of you, Lemmigan, you are on the naughty list.
Oh, stop it! You know I'm a little bit of cute.
It's true, I'd be on the good list.
Deck the Halls with decapitated clean.
This show's over. Just do.
I can't do it. Santa, if I sing this song, it'll put me right in the naughty list. Sandy?
That's the show.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas, everybody.
We'll do a post-Christmas show. It'll be more of a Christmas show next week. Benjamin Garrison is back on to talk about the trumpet.
I did! I really did!